إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد أيها المسلمون عباد الله، I would like this afternoon to begin with some basic reminders. The first of them being what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran. اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم وأتممت عليكم نعمتي ورضيت لكم الإسلام دينا. The first reminder of the words of Allah Jalla wa Ala, which translates into English as being, today I have, اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم, today I have perfected for you your deen, your religion, your way of life, and I have completed my favor upon you, and I have chosen for you, and I am pleased with for you with al-Islam as your way of life. The reminder here is this, that al-Islam is a comprehensive way of life. It is not merely a set of beliefs. It is not only a belief system. It is an entire mode of life. And it is one that has been chosen for us by Allah Jalla wa Ala. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself who has perfected Islam for us. And it is his greatest favor upon each and every one of us. The next reminder is this, that if we want to know what Allah Jalla wa Ala has chosen for us, then there are two primary sources from which we learn what Allah Jalla wa Ala wants for us. And they are the Qur'an and the authentic sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Qur'an meaning the word of Allah, that book that each and every one of us is familiar with. And the sunnah being all of the teachings of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because when it came to these matters of deen, of religion, of how to conduct ourselves in this life, how to interact with one another, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspired the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He revealed to him how to direct us, and this is part of the completion of Allah's favor upon us. And the evidences are very clear. To mention only one, Allah jalla wa ala says in the Quran, وَمَا يَنْطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ. And he does not speak from his own desires. To the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he tells us do this and stay away from that and so on and so forth, he's not telling us these things based on his personal opinion. وَمَا يَنْطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ. Allah says this outright in the Quran, and he does not speak from his own desires. إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ. It is nothing other than divine revelation which has been revealed to him. This we need to keep in the forefront of our minds, no matter what we are discussing. وَمَا كَانَ لِمُؤْمِنٍ وَلَا مُؤْمِنَةٍ إِذَا قَضَى اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَمْرًا أَنْ يَكُونَ لَهُمُ الْخِيَرَةُ مِنْ أَمْرِهِمْ. It is not befitting for a believer, male or female, وما كان لمؤمن ولا مؤمنة إذا قضى الله ورسوله أمرا. That if Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were to pass judgment on any manner, on any matter that is, that they should have, that is the believers, that they should have any opinion thereof. That's it. If it clearly stated in the Quran and in the Sunnah, it is for the believers to say, سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا, that we have heard and we have obeyed. Not well yet, but this, however, no. This is not the way of a believer. There is no room for our opinion on matters which are clear cut in the Quran and in the Sunnah. So with this understanding, we should go into any discussion regarding any issue. The matter we want to discuss today, and one of the reasons for selecting this topic this afternoon, is because we have so many of our youth amongst us. They have a day off from school, so we have to keep them in mind as well. The topic we are going to discuss briefly, inshallah, is that of friendship and companionship, and more specifically, how to choose our friends and companions. We are human beings, and by nature we are social creatures. We interact with people, this is the way of life. We will come across people, we study with people, we live with people, we have to interact with people. And we have this need in us, as human beings, to have friends, to be close to people, to interact with them on a regular basis. Allah Jalla wa Ala created us that way. And know and rest assured that Allah, who created us and who placed these qualities in us, knows better than us what our needs and our desires are. And since it is Allah Jalla wa Ala who chose Islam for us as our way of life, then it is inconceivable that Allah Jalla wa Ala would place these desires in our hearts without teaching us and directing us as to how to conduct ourselves and how to react to these desires. So we have that desire, we have that need within us to take on friends, to have close companions, that of life. So now we need to look to the Quran and the authentic Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to learn how to choose our friends. Listen, as far as friendship is concerned, I don't need to tell you a great deal about it because you are intelligent and you've been watching and listening as to all of those things that are going on around us. We know about something called peer pressure. We know about how so many kids go astray because they were the wrong group of friends. We know ourselves from experience, the way we've lived our lives, that when we are within a certain group of people, how even our thinking might change, how our behavior changes, how our attitudes change. With one group we are one way, with another group we may be another way. We are human beings and we have this tendency of being affected and influenced by others. Therefore it is extremely important for us to realize that the people we keep company with, whether we like it or not, will have an impact on us. They will influence us. Therefore, again, Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has given us direction as to how we should choose our friends, what kind of company we should keep. Don't be fooled into thinking that no, you are so strong that you would never be affected by others. Only a fool thinks that way. Reality shows otherwise. Reality and experience shows otherwise. So let's go to the Quran. Let's go to the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and learn how we should choose our friends. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us in one hadith, لا تصاحب إلا مؤمنا. Do not take as your friends except the believers. He also told us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, al-mar'u ala deeni khaleelih, that an individual will be upon the way and the conduct of his or her close friend. فَلْيَنْظُرْ أَحَدُكُمْ مَنْ يُخَالِفُ. So let each and every one of you look at who they take as their close friend. النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم الذي لا ينطق عن الهوى إن هو إلا وحي يوحى. The messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم who didn't make any of this up himself, but rather the divine revelation which he received from Allah جل وعلا. He gave us the example of a good companion and that of a bad companion. He said at the outset how companions affect us. They affect our behavior, they affect our attitudes and so on and so forth. He said salawatu rabbi wa salamu alayhi in the famous hadith found in Sahih al-Bukhari narrated by Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu anhu arra. He said مَثَلُ الْجَلِيسِ الصَّالِحِ وَجَلِيسِ السُّوءِ كَمَثَلِ حَامِلِ الْمِسْكِ وَنَافِخِ الْكِيرِ إلى آخر الحديث. He said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the likeness of the good companion and the evil companion, the likeness of them is that of the perfume merchant and the ironsmith who works with the bellows. Then he continues salawatu rabbi wa salamuhu alayhi. He said as for the perfume merchant, then what happens if you befriend a perfume merchant? Your best friend, your close friend is the person who's in the perfume business. When you go to visit him, for example, in his shop, then either he's going to give you some perfume, even if it be a sample on your hand, or you're going to buy some perfume from him. And if neither one of those occurs, then at very least, while sitting with him, you will have enjoyed the beautiful fragrances in his shop. And as for the one who works with the bellows, the ironsmith or the blacksmith, then he's working there in front of you with fire. He's blowing into the fire, and when he blows into the fire, what happens? Sparks fly. So if you're sitting and hanging out with him in his workplace, then what's going to happen? Either some of those sparks will come and burn your clothing, or some of that smoke will dirty your clothing, or the very least is that while you're sitting there, you will get to experience all of the terrible smells in that particular environment. And we have to apply this to our lives as well. Think about it. And look at simple examples. Sometimes one of our children will come to us and they reek of smoke. Of course, immediately the red flag comes up. What? Where is this? No, I wasn't smoking, but I walked by this place or I was sitting with some friends and they were smoking, but I didn't smoke. But what happened? The effect of that gathering, the traces of that gathering that left on his clothing. And so on. There are so many examples. But look at how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam put it. And think of the real life example that you and I live and you will see that of course this is a reality. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also told us, and remember that we are Muslims. We don't live, or we don't only look, you know, to the end of our noses. We look far beyond that. We look at the long term. We don't look at short term. You and I know for a fact that Allah jalla wa ala has created us and placed us on the face of this earth for a very special reason. That is to serve and to worship Him tabaraka wa ta'ala. He's testing us in this world. And then we know that there's a reality called death. And we know there's a reality after that, and it's called the resurrection when we stand before Allah Jalla wa Ala, and He will take us to account for all that we did and all that we said in the life of this world. We know this. And this is why we think for the long term. So one of us has to think when we listen to these advices from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Listen carefully to what he said. He said, صَلَوَاتُ رَبِّي وَسَلَامُهُ عَلَيْهِ الْمَرْءُ مَعَ مَنْ أَحَبُّ. That every individual will be with those whom he or she loves, with those whom they are close to. And he's referring to here to the Day of Judgment. On the Day of Judgment, what is going to happen? طَرِيقٌ فِي الْجَنَّةِ وَطَرِيقٌ فِي السَّعِيرِ. A group of people will go to Jannah, to paradise, and another group of them will be doomed to the hellfire. This is what he's talking about. You will be with those whom you keep closest to you. المرء على دين خليله. Remember what eventually happens. You get so close to someone, you end up thinking like them, you end up adopting their entire lifestyle. Islam is a lifestyle. Anything other than Islam, that's another lifestyle. keep this in mind. So he's saying that on the day of judgment you will be with those whom you are closest to. Now look to the Quran. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say about people who are close friends to one another? What will ultimately happen? Al-akhillaa yawmaydin ba'duhum li ba'din aduun illa al-muttaqun. He says subhanahu wa ta'ala that al-akhillaa, the close friends, intimate friends, on that day will be enemies one to another. Yeah, they will be enemies of one another. Illa, except for al-muttaqun, the righteous, the believers, the Muslims. Al-Imam ibn Kathir alayhi rahmatullah, in his tafsir, he mentioned many things. One of those things he mentioned was related from Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu wa arda, in which Ali radiallahu anhu stated, was commentating or explaining the meaning of this verse. He said that if two people who are Muslims befriend one another, then when one of them dies, then he sees his place in Jannah. He cries out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, "Oh Allah, so and so, who is my close friend, used to always encourage me to do good and to obey you, and used to warn me, and used to gently take me away from the path leading to doom, leading to the hellfire. Oh Allah, let him die as you have made me die, and show him after he dies what you have shown me. That is that I will be granted a place in Jannah." Then he said, radiallahu anhu arda, as for people who are evil, disbelievers, who are friends one to another, they were so close in this world, they were best friends perhaps. When one of them dies, then he will call out to Allah, "Oh Allah, so and so, my good friend, saw me doing all of these evil things but never told me not to do them. Never did he encourage me to do good. So now that you have shown me my place in the hellfire, I ask you, O Allah, to let that person be miserable like I am miserable now. Let him die upon disbelief and show him his place in hellfire as you have shown me my place is in hellfire." Al-akhillaa yawmaydin ba'duhum li ba'din aduun illa al-muttaqun. These are the words of Allah Jalla wa'ala. Close friends will be enemies to one another on that day, the day of judgment, except for those who are righteous and pious. Look also at the benefits that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke of. If we befriend one another based on our faith, this is the primary factor, if you will. This is the main thing that we should base our friendship on, is the fact that we share the same faith, the love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, سَبْعَةٌ يُظِلُّهُمُ اللَّهُ فِي ظِلِّهِ يَوْمَ لَا ظِلَّ إِلَّا ظِلُّهُ إِلَىٰ آخِرِ الْحَدِيثِ. He said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that there are seven types of people whom Allah will grant a shade to on the day of judgment, when there is no shade except that which Allah provides. The day when everybody will need a shade desperately because the sun will be so close to us that there's a fear of us drowning in our perspiration. And he mentioned from that seven from those seven categories of people, رَجُلَانِ تَحَابَّ فِي اللَّهِ اجْتَمَعَ عَلَيْهِ وَتَفَرَّقَ عَلَيْهِ. Two individuals who love one another, who befriended one another for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All of their meetings, the reason they got together was the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When they part company, also they part company while they love one another for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah will grant them their shade on the day of judgment. And yet in another narration, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us how on the day of judgment, when we will all be standing and waiting for Allah jalla wa ala to judge us and to take us to account, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will call out to us and he will say, أَيْنَ الْمُتَحَابُّونَ بِجَلَالِي أَلْيَوْمَ أُظِلُّهُمْ فِي ظِلِّي يَوْمَ لَا ظِلَّ إِلَّا ظِلِّي. Where are those who loved one another, who befriended one another for the sake of my glory? Today I shall shave them this day when there is no shade besides the one that I provide. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also told us the way of the wretched, the way of the evil, the way of the wrongdoers, how on the day of judgment they will stand before Allah jalla wa ala and they will regret the types of friends that they have kept in this world. They will say, Ya waylata, ya laytani lam attakhidh fulanan khalila. Do you want to be one of those who stands before Allah jalla wa ala and then you regret, Ya waylata, Allah, woe unto me, what a fool I had been, Ya laytani, how I wish, لَمْ أَتَّخِذْ فُلَانًا خَلِيلًا, that I didn't take so-and-so as a friend, as a close friend. Why? Because friends can be the ones who lead to our destruction in this world as well as in the hereafter. These then are just some of the texts from the Qur'an and the authentic sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in which we are taught, in which we learn how to choose our friends, how or what type of company that we should keep. أَحِبَّتِي فِي اللَّهِ. Once again, whether we like it or not, the people that we keep company with will have an impact upon us. Therefore, all you need to do is look at how the people themselves eat. Many a person, if you ask them, how do you judge a person, what will the response be? They will say, look at the type of company he keeps. Look at his friends. Because if you want to know what a person is like, you will most likely find out about that person's true nature by looking at the company that person keeps. You hang around with bad people, people are going to have a bad opinion of you. It's as simple as that. We do that with our children all the time. So be well aware of this. And before any of us get carried away and we say, oh, but you know, times and this and that and the other thing, I say to you, no. This is why I mentioned what I did at the very beginning of this khutbah. That in these matters there is no room for my opinion or your opinion. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has laid down for us these guidelines how we should choose our friends and our companions. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد, let me take this opportunity to address particularly the parents for a few moments. Realize that we have a huge responsibility on our shoulders, and we are accountable even for the type of company our children keep. كلكم راع وكلكم مسؤول عن رعيته. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam makes this abundantly clear. All of us are like shepherds, and each and every one of us will be held accountable, and we are responsible for our flock. We as parents are responsible for our children. We need to know who their friends are. We need to know what type of company they keep. Now some may say that, listen, we live in a non-Muslim society, and how do you expect my children to only have Muslim friends? Well, perhaps you misunderstood what we are saying. There is something called an acquaintance, and there is something called a friend. We use the word sometimes very loosely. By friends, we are talking about those people who are close to us, those people that we like to interact with on a regular basis, those people with whom we share the same values, we have the same moral system, etc., etc. Acquaintances are the people that we come across in school, in the workplace, and so on. There's a difference between the two, we must distinguish. Now, our children will have, well, using the term loosely, friends at school. We cannot prevent that. Whether you like it or not, do what you want, that you will not be able to prevent them from having friends at school. Kids that they, you know, they play with out in the field, they spend time with during the lunch break. As we said, we're social beings, we have that need and that desire. However, we can train them, and we can teach them. It's not only Muslim and non-Muslim issues here. I mean, just go and look up any you know, studies on peer pressure and so on and so forth, they tell you how you should prepare your children. Let them know how to choose their friends. Because if they get involved in a particular circle of friends, it could be detrimental to them. It could lead them towards, you know, drugs or this or that and the other thing. So we have to teach them to choose these people as friends and so on and so forth. Yes, they can have friends with whom they play, teach them how to choose their friends, even if they are non-Muslim, and the greater likelihood is that they will be non-Muslim in their friends, especially here, in a small community like this. It's fine. Teach them decency, play with them, and so on and so forth, but this is about the extent of it. We do not allow our children then to become so close to these individuals that they have sleepovers at their places, listening at heart. As hard as it may sound, except that the reality is this, don't we want our children to grow up loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and being proud of that? Don't we want them to be proud that they are Muslims and they offer their 5 daily prayers on time, all of the time? Let's not live in a dream world. Let me tell you about some realities. Not only from my own experience because I grew up here, but because of the fact that day in and day out, I am dealing with the youth, with the crisis line and other things. Our youth end up developing double identities. Our youth are growing up confused. Our youth are growing up not realizing that they have nothing to be shy about. Just picture this. One of our kids, we send them to their non-Muslim friend's house. Allah only knows what type of things they might witness there. Remember, the dress code in those homes is very different than in our home. I'm standing here on the day of Jumu'ah and on this minbar, and I will tell you, from personal experience, you might enter a non-Muslim home, one of our children, as I was a child, living here in this country as well. You enter upon one of those homes, and the mother will be walking in her underwear in front of her children, and in the summertime in her bikini, which is maybe just as bad, if not worse, than her underwear. And this is only the tip of the iceberg. The type of language that is used within that home. There are so many things that you have to take into consideration. Now, I ask you by Allah, how many of our youth are so strong when it's the time of Fajr, they're going to say to their friends, don't forget to wake me up at 5 o'clock, I have to pray. Even if that child knows and does pray at home, do you think they're going to do it at their friend's place? Be honest with yourself. They'll be shy. First of all, they're probably up late watching movies. Let's assume they're not doing anything wrong. Just watching some innocent movie or something. And then they go to sleep after midnight. But now they're going to say to their friends, don't forget to wake me up at 5 a.m. I have to do my wudu and pray. I don't think I need to say anything else after this. This one example is probably sufficient. I hope that all of us will seriously ponder over what I have said. And we will deal with our children accordingly. And I remind all of the youth and all of our children who are sitting here that what I have said, you have to live by it. You are a Muslim and you have to be proud of that. You are not inferior to anyone else because you choose to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and live that pure lifestyle that Allah has chosen for you. Be careful of who your friends are. Don't get upset when your parents ask you, who have you been with? Where are you going? They only ask you this because they care for you and they love you. They don't want misery for you. As a matter of fact, they're looking out for your real future. They want you to be with them in Jannah. ثم صلوا وسلموا على خاتم النبيين وإمام المرسلين فقد أمركم الله بذلك في كتابه المبين فقال جل من قائل إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام من صلى علي واحدة صلى الله عليه بها عشرة اللهم صل وسلم وبارك وأنعم على عبدك ورسولك محمد وارض اللهم عن الخلفاء الراشدين أبي بكر وعمر وعثمان وعلي وعن سائر الصحابة والتابعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين وأذل الكفرة والمشركين. اللهم اغفر لجميع المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات، إنك سميع قريب مجيب الدعوات ورافع الدرجات برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم حبب إلينا الإيمان وزينه في قلوبنا وكره إلينا الكفر والفسوق والعصيان واجعلنا من الراشدين. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. قوموا إلى صلاتكم رحمكم الله. الله أكبر الله أكبر. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله. أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله. حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح. قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة. الله أكبر الله أكبر. لا إله إلا الله. Thank you.